And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
You best start believing in ghost stories, Miss Swan, because you're in one!
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, February 26th. This is the Drop Podcast. Hashtag full squad. I'm Jay Skeets, and alongside me, we got Mr. What You Need to Know, Tass Mellis.
Hi, Phil.
Hi. Oh, drink. We got my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! We got the international man of mystery, taking it to the max, was drinking a little champagne last night with our buddy Grish, Lee Ellis. And last but not least, making the magic happen is JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe, and share the show. Thanks to everybody who did join us live last night for our NBA happy hour watch party. Our buddy Grish, stopping by to talk about a number of things. Traveling around the globe, sharing their stories. Mail trucks came up. We had a blast, so go check that out. What's John Schumann saying already here?
He's asking if he missed something epic by not being in the happy hour last night and watching the Sacramento Kings game. Obviously. Yeah. You just found out, Shu.
Shu, go back and watch. I think it's almost 3 hours.
Yeah, it came close.
It got very, very close. So we didn't go super late. We started, I guess, pretty early.
That was nice.
All things considered, that was nice. So anyway, I had a great conversation with my buddy Grish. We talked about a number of things. So go check it out if you want to. Now, for those just listening to the podcast, we don't release it as a podcast. It's just up on YouTube. So go check it out. And if you like it, hit the little thumbs up, and of course leave us a comment as well. We were giving away some Chris Middleton top shots.
Three Middletons.
I know I've given mine away. Trey's doing his as well, and then I'll stay on my buddy Grish to make sure he gives his Middleton away as well. And you had to leave your username in the comments section, so thanks.
Don't know about you, Skeets, but I was regretting it there in the fourth quarter when Middleton was taking over.
Nah, I felt good. I felt happy. I was like, oh, this is actually maybe a moment we're going to gift to somebody and it might actually go up in value. So that's that's
the dunks
great bump. Yeah, you're right. He had a great game. That was a good one. Guys, also, immaculate items available at nodunks.com. Go grab your No Dunks merch. Our buddy Grish was rocking a nice one last night. Oh. He's got the No Dunks Knicks one on. I love that one.
This is a very nice one.
Oh, yeah. Look at Tass. He's got the wraps on. Jesus.
Look at these guys.
Everybody's looking great today. So, you can look like the No Dunks crew here. Go to nodunks.com and get yourself some No Dunks gear. Okay, so we had a lot of blowouts, actually, in the NBA last night. And we got worst of the week. You know, we got the staples. We got some rapid-fire fun. We are going to do those shout-outs, the shuffle shout-outs, Lele.
Shout-outs are back.
That's right, they are.
Boy. Everything's back.
Cue the music, JD. But I thought we could start the drop here by playing a little true or false with some of the big topics going on, and even some of the games from last night. The first one, we'll start with the game. Because the Denver Nuggets lost to the Wizards after running an impossibly bad fast break in the final couple of seconds. Now, I want to set the scene here, all right? And we're going to play true or false. 6 seconds to go about in the fourth quarter. The Wizards are up two. They miss a shot inside. The Joker bats the ball out, right? And Denver, off to the races. They got numbers. They're running. I mean, they got a chance to tie, maybe even win this thing. Really should go for the tie. It's Jamal Murray and friends on this fast break. It's a 3-on-1. Some people are calling it a 4-on-1. I'm not angry at that. Yeah. Great position again to tie the game. And then this happened. We're going to show you the clip. So Murray's on the run. He's going to pick up his dribble at the three-point line, though. And you see the other Nuggets there. They all space out to the three-point line, despite there being no defenders at the rim. Murray fired that pass to Campazzo. Desperation heave. Misses. Ball game. Nuggets lose in a pretty incredible fashion. So you saw it. Everybody went to the three-point line, Trey. So true or false? Blame the nerds for the Nuggets' abysmal 3-on-1 fast break. Analytics, everybody, just shoot the three ball. What do you think, true or false?
You're off the hook here, nerds. This is false. This one is 100% on Jamal Murray. This was not Kitchener's finest moment. I say 100% on Murray. I would say actually more 90% on Murray, 10% on Michael Porter Jr. Murray, though, blames Murray, which is why I'm fine with saying it's actually his decision here that is the problem. Because as soon as he gets the ball, Bradley Beal is retreating. He's running back to the lane. He has his hips turned to the point where Murray could easily get to the rim. The guy just needs to hit the gas and go to the rim. That's the simple answer here. Mm. He's at least drawing a foul. Even Beal said, I thought he was coming to shoot the layup here. Okay. You know, it seemed like that's what it should have been. It should have been Murray going to the hoop instantly, trying to draw a foul, trying to score a bucket. Maybe you get it three the hard way and you're getting the win there as well. Secondarily, yeah, maybe Michael Porter Jr. should be cutting to the basket on the fast break instead of pulling a Zach Harper and running to the three-point line. Three Zach Harpers running the break out there. Three-point line to three-point line, but somebody has to go to the rim.
Yeah.
They just completely lost their minds there in the last 4 seconds.
Yeah, that's it. I don't think all of them have to go to the rim, but at least one of those guys, along with Murray, should have beelined to the rim, and there's an easy pass. Maybe, like, if it's Michael Porter Jr. going baseline, throw him the oop for crying out loud.
Sure.
And it's a dunk. But, Lee, what did you think? I know you would have been one of those guys going to the three-point line. You can't hit a layup to save your life. But what do you think of the Nuggets there?
Yeah, Jamal Murray has to shoulder so much of this one because you're right. Everything Trey said there, like, Bradley Beal is backtracking. He's kind of got him frozen there. All he needs to do is keep going, and he's got almost an uncontested layup unless Bradley Beal sort of dives at him to prevent him from getting that. So that does fall on him. As far as the guys running to the three-point line, yes, one of them, fine. But Michael Porter and Facundo both really should have been like, I'll go, no, you go, I'll go, no. Instead, they just really spread out because yeah. They want the three. They want the glory of winning the game on the three-pointer as the buzzer sounds, whereas you just need to tie that game and potentially extend it to overtime. So just a complete screw-up by the Nuggets, though. And, you know, Jamal Murray has kind of owned it, saying, yep,
yeah,
like, I should have done better. But the Nuggets this season have had a few of these slip-ups, and this one was clearly the biggest one against a team they shouldn't have even really been in a contest with. They should have beaten the Wizards last night pretty easily, but they weren't able to do that. So, yeah, one of those ones that, man, you just wonder what was going through everyone's head there right now. It was almost like they were sort of being too polite to each other, saying, I'll stay out of the way, you guys finish it off. And Jamal Murray's a star with the ball in his hand. Take it inside. You have to do that when you've got Bradley Beal backpedaling.
Anything to add there, Tess?
I guess you let Michael Porter Jr. off the hook because he, you know, has some brain farts from time to time. He just didn't know what time and score was. But Facundo Campazzo, he's a point guard. He's got to know what's going on. I did not get... Well, obviously, you blame everybody. I mean, it's a 3-on-1. Just score. have an opportunity to tie the game. Jamal Murray, I know he was waiting for somebody else to go to the rim. He had his eyes up. He was staring at the other two guys. And then, you know, Bradley Beal comes and guards him, so he's just got to pull up. It's just crazy to see a 3-on-1 to tie a game at the end of it. The Wizards just not back at all. I mean, that's their job, is to, you know, stay back with the rest of the guys, like stay back with one of those guys. And yeah, the Nikola Jokic part is real key. The way he batted it out is awesome. And to just hit it by five guys, it was a crazy play how it all worked out, because Raul Neto looked like he was going to get the roll. He used the 24 second shot clock perfectly. He used every single one of those seconds, and then Murray goes the other way, and he blamed himself this morning on Twitter. He came out and said, this angle, though, I think he's not saying other guys go to the ring. I think he's saying, what the hell am I doing? I mean, I should pass it to one of these guys. I think he's putting it on himself, which he should. And that angle obviously makes it look like a 4-on-1 because Monte Morris snuck into the picture with 3 seconds left. But that's just crazy. It's crazy. The Nuggets have been the most disappointing team to me in the league because they just haven't put it all together, even though they've got an MVP candidate. I don't know how you lose that game.
Wizards are hot, though. Keep winning all these games. What, they won 6 of the last 7, right? And they're back in the playoff hunt. They're going to be in the play-in tournament. It's amazing. All right. That was an epic way to lose it. You said, like, they were being too politely. It sort of was similar to what happened in the Pelicans game. I don't know if you saw that down the stretch. They were being too polite in terms of, like, somebody shoot the three. We actually need a three to tie the game. And just, like, no one would let it go. And they're trying to search for a better shot when they probably should have taken a couple of them. But, yeah, some crazy endings there. Next one. Manuel quickly scored 18 of his 25 points in the first half. Julius Randle, another great game, 21 and 14. Powered the Knicks to the 140 to 121 win over the Kings last night. Yeah, 140 points. Crazy. The Knicks, they're rolling. Fifth win in their last seven. Sacramento's free fall continues. They've dropped nine straight now and have allowed 126.3 points per game. And they just gave up, as I said, 140 to the Knicks. The Knicks are a good team. They are not an offensive juggernaut, okay? So this is, like, pretty wild. I'm going to ask it like this, Tass. True or false? Come Monday, Luke Walton will not be coaching the Sacramento Kings. True or false?
I think Luke Walton will be coaching on Monday. I think, yeah, the expectations, you know, if we take a look at it now and the way they've lost nine in a row, it's obviously terrible. But let's take a step back. Would you have thought that they were 12 and 11 when they were 12 and 11? No, I don't think so. And at this point, you got to blame Luke Walton for the defense, undoubtedly. We've got John Schumann in the chat here from NBA.com. Schumann was doing a good job of tweeting the moments where the Kings were just falling flat on their face on the defensive end, where Marvin Bagley, who isn't getting a lot of playing time for that very reason, was just letting guys stroll to the rim. So does the coach have to take the brunt of that? Oh, yeah, because on the other side of the floor, you've got Tom Thibodeau, who came in, and on the Knicks side, they have the top three defense in the league. So juxtapose those two dudes, Thibodeau and Walton. So, yeah, Walton is going to he's going to take the brunt of it right now, but I just don't think he gets axed because, yeah, they're, you know, towards the bottom now in the Western Conference, but that's kind of where people expected them to be. I just think he gets a little bit more time. Obviously, if they keep falling flat on their face on the defensive end, then, yeah, he gets axed. But like we said about Mike Budenholzer last week, we're kind of living in the moment, and the Bucks were on a terrible losing streak. Now they've come back to you know, to playing their type of ball. They're all right. I mean, the Kings, I guess they are playing their type of ball, which is bad ball. it's unfortunate, the defensive effort, because De'Aaron Fox was sort of keeping them alive and keeping them sort of afloat, is the right word, at 12 and 11. He was kicking ass, and then he goes out for a game and isn't right for another game, and then this streak, the ups and the downs are just like, they're so high with this team. There's no even keel with this team. So you're either like, oh, yeah, this team can make it. Or you kind of think, wow, I mean, the strolls that they had to the hoop last night on the Knicks side, yeah, 140 points, that they don't do that very often.
I think you're being too kind. I think he's gone. I think it has to do maybe with these games this weekend. They have another one tonight at Detroit. Okay. Obviously not a juggernaut team either. If that's another bad loss, then they go home to play the Hornets on Sunday. If that's another one, you're over 10 now. You'd be at 11 straight losses. You're continuing to give up, you know, 125 to 135 points per night. You saw him frustrated, Luke Walton, last night. I think they have to save his job. I mean, I'm getting at it. They have to win, you know, one, maybe both of those games for him to still be there come Monday. Because I also look at what happens in the NBA is, like, you get one coach fired and then it sometimes opens up things, right? You know, like we saw Ryan Saunders get fired last Sunday. That sometimes jump starts, like, the firing or moving on, the coaching carousel, whatever you want to call it. They have an easy replacement. It'd be Elvin Gentry sliding over and see if he can get anything out of these guys. You know, Walton's breaking clipboards when they're falling down 20. I think he knows his job is on the line here. Put me down that he's gone come Monday. I think Kings have been wanting it for a long. Kings fans have been wanting it even for a long time, and I just think you get it over to 10. If you're losing to teams like the Knicks and the Pistons in pretty, if they do lose on tonight in historic fashion again, I don't see how he survives. Trey, am I crazy for thinking that?
A Pistons loss would be really, really bad because it's the Pistons. It would be 10 straight. That's a poor number, and it looks really bad because it's a round number as well. We just saw, like you're saying, Ryan Saunders got fired after losing to the Knicks. So you lose to some bad teams, and it puts a spotlight on you. I don't necessarily know that switching to Elvin Gentry is going to fix anything. It's not going to make this team play defense. That's a guy who really struggled to actually build a defense when he had a great defensive player in Anthony Davis there in New Orleans. I think it'll be just more of the same. You'll probably get the fired coach bump where you're trying to show off that it's not your fault that the team is bad. But I don't see things changing with Fox and Bagley as the stars here and Buddy Hield as well. Rashawn Holmes is your center. There's nobody there who is going to play defense. There's nobody who can keep an opposing guard in front of them. There's nobody who can grab a defensive rebound. They're 30th in defensive rebounding. It's easy to kill them on the glass, crushing the offensive boards. Just easy to get shots against the Kings. I don't think switching coaches midway is going to change anything, but they'll probably do it just to do something because, I mean, how long can this go on? Two decades of the Kings being the worst defensive team in the league? Not good.
What do you think, Lee? Is he there Monday?
I do think it comes down to tonight. I think it's the Pistons game. That's huge here. And it's on a back-to-back too. And that Kings defense is just non-existent. I mean, it just feels like yesterday they won 7 of 8. And it was like, I think you were saying, Skeetie, like, all right. I was trying to tell you guys
to not allow me to get too excited. Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy to see how quickly it's gone back to where it was at the start of the season, where they were just awful there. But to me, when you are giving up so many points so easily on the defensive end, that is a sign that the coach has lost the team anyway. Because they're just not trying. They're not putting in the effort. Their defense isn't great, but it was okay there. Well, it was better when they did go on that little win streak, but it was more that they were actually just outscoring teams. They were still conceding quite a lot of points. Mm. But a game like that against the Knicks last night, to me, is just like, all right, we're basically going to passively, aggressively try to get you fired anyway here because we don't care. And that's what it seems like to me, that the Kings are just like, yeah, if you're the ownership as well, you're like, I don't think Luke Walton has a future, so maybe you just start that process as soon as you can. And whether it's Alvin Gentry to be the interim for a while or for the remainder of the season, fine, whatever. But I just don't think Luke Walton is the coach going forward. So the longer you sort of prolong it, it's just going to happen anyway. So I think you'll be very lucky to survive another week or so.
All right, let's hear from you guys on the stream team. Is Luke Walton coaching come Monday? Will that be one of our main topics to start that show with, winners and losers? Can we already put Walton in pen into the losers section of the Monday podcast? Next one. The Philadelphia Inquirer reported this week that the Sixers, Clippers, and Heat have emerged as potential Kyle Lowry trade partners. Keith Pompey, who's a very trustworthy reporter, he wrote that, quote, a source said Lowry would like to go to Philly, or like to be in Philly, I should say. The source believes the Sixers and Raptors might be able to get something done, end quote. Now, Lowry's agent has since denied the rumor. Deny. I'll ask it like this, though. True or false? Lowry would make the Sixers championship favorites if there was a deal made. Trey, what do you think?
It's false for me. I don't think they become instantly championship favorites. I do think it does make them Eastern Conference co-favorites right there with the Nets. To me, Brooklyn would probably have a higher ceiling, but Philadelphia, the Sixers would be night in, night out the best, I think, just because, you know, you can get to a higher level having three guys who are MVP caliber players like the Nets do, where the Sixers, you know, you're not exactly convinced you're going to get the same thing out of Ben Simmons every night. And that's really the X factor there. Also, once you consider what the Nets are doing right now without Kevin Durant, 8 straight wins, the Nets just look incredible, and they're going to be adding their best player further on down the line. That being said, Kyle Lowry, no doubt, is the most title-swinging kind of player that has been sort of on the trade block here. Obviously, the Raptors are denying it right now, and it's going to come down to if Kyle Lowry wants to leave the Raptors, if he wants to go chase another title somewhere. With the Clippers and the Heat in the mix, I think if you add Kyle Lowry to either the Clippers or the Sixers, that's an easy plug-in to both of those teams, and they're jumping up the rankings. I mean, you're putting them in the mix for winning the title, adding Kyle Lowry, just because he'll be such an easy fit alongside those teams. The ability to play with the ball, the ability to play off the ball, playing with stars, playing without stars. The guy's done it all. He plays defense as well. He's taking charges. He's an emotional leader out there. No doubt, adding Kyle Lowry increases the ceiling of any team who's going to get him. Doesn't necessarily make them the title favorites if it's the Sixers. Not for me, but I mean, they're already in the top 5 teams in the league right now, and they would only be getting better. So certainly they're title contenders.
Yeah, because if in some hypothetical Sixers-Raptors trade for Lowry tasks, it's not Simmons going back. It's not, of course, Embiid. It's maybe like a Tyrese Maxey and picks as the enticing part to the Raptors, and then it's like contracts to make it work, right? Like Mike Scott, possibly a Danny Green even going back, which would be really weird. But what do you think of all this stuff, Tass, as a Raptors fan? The Lowry trade rumors, you know, the possibility of the Sixers trying to make a move or these other teams like the Clippers, Heat. Do you believe any of this? What's your take?
Well, I believe that Kyle Lowry likes Philadelphia. That's where he's from.
Right.
But I don't know what more to believe beyond that. If he wants to leave, as Trey said, he's going to tell Masai Ujiri in the front office it's my time to go. I find it hard to believe that he would at this point with the way they're playing around the 500 mark. The team is just solid, and it's obviously no sure thing for him to go to Philadelphia to win a championship. It's a shortened season, and yeah, he can do it all for sure. But then he does have to, you know, relearn along with Ben Simmons, who's going to have the ball, who's going to share the ball. Like, Ben Simmons is just, you know, getting to that point now where he's feeling really comfortable without the ball. And then on the ball, he looked really good last night in that win over the Mavericks. I just know that Kyle Lowry knows that it's not a sure thing, you know, to go into these next few months and to be able to win a championship. Of course, he increases their chances, but I guess if he asks the Raptors front office or makes the request that he wants to go, it probably comes with the caveat that I still get my likeness, my statue outside of Toronto's arena if I'm traded, okay? That's part of the deal if you let me go, because he's a Raptor for life, and I find it hard in this weird, crazy season, unless they were bad, because I speculated about this before the season that maybe he'd want to go, but now they're 500. He's playing in Tampa. He doesn't even have, you know, his own home right now, although I guess the rumor was he was selling his Toronto home. There's too much. There's too much, I think, for him to just say, I'm going to Philly and we're going to go win this thing. If they were bad, maybe. But Toronto's pretty solid. And it almost seems like, you know, there's an outside chance for an Eastern Conference team like the Raptors to shock someone. So I don't see it happening.
Yeah, Lee, when we previously talked about it, we all said, if Lowry, like Tass says, goes to Masai and Bobby Webster and says, I want to be moved, then yeah, I think they try and, you know, see through on that. I think what he's done for the franchise, what he means to the team, they would give it their best shot to, like, well, where would you like to go? We'll see what we can do. But until that happens, I don't think they move on from him in the 1 year, you know, $30 million expiring contract. You still agree with that, the way we were talking about it a couple weeks ago when this rumor popped up?
Yeah, I do, because I still think if you're the Raptors, if you were to meet the Sixers in the playoffs right now, I think the Raptors would feel that they can take them in a series, really. I mean, the Raptors are 6-1 without Lowry so far this season. They're playing okay without him, but obviously I think they're better when he's playing at his best. He's an experienced playoff guy. We know that it took a couple of years there in Toronto for him to get to that point, but now he's someone who really does perform in the playoffs. And the Raptors, after that slow start, have gotten themselves back into contention. So I don't see him going to Philadelphia. I just don't see that as where Masai Ujiri would trade him to. I think it could be one of those situations where it's like, maybe not to the Eastern Conference, we'll send him to the West, because we don't want Kyle Lowry to come back and have a revenge series against us. I just don't think that would happen. So I'm not sure. I mean, we know with the Raptors, there's no leaks. So if a deal's happening, it's just going to happen without anyone really knowing what's going on there, because that's just the way that Masai Ujiri has been throughout his tenure with Toronto. Things that he kept very close internally there. So I think if he does get traded, it's to a Western Conference team.
Yeah, but wouldn't you think it would be a good Western Conference team, because Lowry would want to go to a good team and win a championship? But then the problem is Clippers don't have picks.
No,
Lakers don't have picks.
Yeah.
It's like you start running out of teams pretty quickly. If Lowry ever went to them and said, I'd like to go to a team to help my chances of winning a title again, and they're like, okay. And then they look at the landscape, and then Masai's like, well, that team has no picks. Like, that's why the Sixers are the ones that actually do.
Yeah, I mean, there's a three-team, I suppose, in that sense. You can get your picks there. But, of course, Lowry is an expiring contract as well. So exactly what the expectations are in return, would you get a first-round pick if you could somehow finagle that from another team? I guess the Raptors do it. But again, they're just not playing bad enough where it's like, well, we may as well just tank the season from here.
Mm-hmm.
I think they realize, again, in the Eastern Conference, I think the Nets at full strength are the team to beat. Other than that, I think the Raptors would probably look and say, you know, we can beat the Bucks, we can beat the Sixers, you know, the Pacers, the Heat, all those other teams there.
Yeah.
I think the Raptors at full strength, you know, sort of think this could be a season again where it's there for the taking if they can get everyone back on track. You know, Pascal's a big one. Freddie's playing fantastic. Norm's, you know, Norm's Norm. He's up and down. But if you get good Norm,
He's been playing great lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if he can keep that up for the entire season, then great. So I just don't think the Raptors are looking at it right now and thinking like it's time to shake things up. I think they're like the opposite.
That's fair, because as Trace has said a couple times over the last week, it's like you're one bad week away from being out of the playoffs and you're one good week away from being a top three team in the East, right? I mean, it's so jammed up. Yeah. If I'm the Sixers, though, I mean, I am absolutely pleading with Masai Ujiri and saying, yeah, Danny Green, Mike Scott, make the contracts work. You know, Tyrese Maxey, yep, there's your promising young player. Draft pick, whatever it takes. They, to me, with this window's open. I mean, they're good. They're already good. Kyle Lowry takes them to the next level. That's a no-brainer. Can you imagine the defense? Holy crap. Lowry and Simmons as basically your perimeter defenders. And then Embiid as your backbone. Oh, my God. And, of course, him having the reps in the playoffs and stuff like that. I would absolutely be trying to make this move if I'm the Sixers or the Clippers, for sure, or even the Heat. But, yeah, whether or not Masai Ujiri and the Raps want to do it, we'll see. We'll see. It all really depends to Lowry.
I was trying to remember, when he came on the starters, was he not wearing, like, full Philadelphia Eagles gear? I feel like he had on an Eagles sweatshirt and hat. It was, like, right after they had won the Super Bowl. Right?
Super Bowl, yeah. He definitely had the hat on. I don't remember. Yeah, maybe he did have a sweater on, too. He's a Philly guy.
Before the Super Bowl, though, that he was on.
Was it?
Maybe he was saying, we're going to do it.
Yeah. During that two-week hiatus that the NFL likes to have before the Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could have been that. He has played for Daryl Morey before as well in Houston. Forgot about that.
Oh, wow.
That's a long time ago. Yeah. Wow.
God, eons ago. All right, well, we'll wait to see what happens with the Lowry trade rumors. They're still around right now. Final one. Kyrie Irving, 27 points, 9 assists. James Harden chipped in 20. Nets extended their winning streak to 8 games last night. 129-92 shellacking of the Orlando Magic. This Nets run has come basically without Kevin Durant. He's missed 6 straight games with the strained left hamstring. Harden, ballin'. Again, he only had 20 last night, but it was a blowout fashion, so whatever. He would have had more if it was a close game. He is averaging 25 points, though. In his 20 games with the Nets, he's averaging 25 points per game, 11.5 assists, 8.5 rebounds. Shooting splits, 49, 42, and 86. They're 15-5 with him in the lineup, Lee. They had those two weird losses to the Cavs, remember? And then they lost the 3 straight when they weren't playing a lick of defense. It was Toronto, Philly, and Detroit, and then they've turned it around since. But I wanted to know, let's go have dinner, Lee, you know, true or false, James Harden deserves a spot at the coveted MVP table at that dinner. Is that true or false to you?
I'm saying false today. It didn't seem like this was going to be a possibility given the way the season started for him.
Of course.
And I think it's a long shot still, but the longer Kevin Durant is out and the Nets keep winning, maybe he could find his way to the table, because I think right now he's in the restaurant, but he's at the bar, just having a drink by himself, talking to the barman. Okay. But if someone gets up and leaves that table, then he could be there in time for when the meal is being served.
Let me ask you this. Is Kyrie already at the table?
I think Kyrie's running late. I think Kyrie's running late.
Oh, see, I disagree. I think Kyrie has more of a case, actually, than even Harden, who is making a case, as I just pointed out.
I mean, look, either way, the transition from Houston to Brooklyn has been incredible for James Harden. His play, his attitude, he's been a true pro after being the complete opposite of that in his final few days there in Houston. So I think whenever Durant comes back, though, this is the problem for Harden. I think it will just be harder for him to stand out, because I think Kevin Durant is the MVP of that team. Mm. And Harden would have to outperform him and obviously Kyrie. But when Kevin Durant has been playing this season, I mean, he's absolutely at the table. He's got the wine list right now. He's ordering for the table.
Oh, well, he's a Matty O, is he?
Yeah, he absolutely is. Oh. Yeah. Now, Durant, this hamstring, you know, they said it was only two game where he's going to be out. But a hamstring, we know it could be 2 or 3 weeks. And just the way that he's been playing makes it hard, I think, for Harden to become an MVP this season. But I will give him credit for everything else that he has done since going to Brooklyn there, slotted into that team. You know, really kind of adjusted in the sense that he's been prepared to let other guys sort of do their thing as well, but then take over when he's needed to. And it has been an incredible fit. And I think today the Nets are clearly the Eastern Conference favorite and doing all this with Kevin Durant out. So it's great for him. But MVP, I just don't think he's quite there yet.
Okay. Trey, you agree with Lee? Is he at the bar? He's not actually at the table, which I think we decided on 6 people at the table, too. I think.
Six people is official?
Yeah.
All right. It's, okay, James Harden, if we're saying 6 at the table, You can talk me into him being top six. It feels like we're always trying to find reasons to disqualify James Harden from being in the MVP conversation, when clearly he's an MVP-level player. But I'm with Lee. Once Kevin Durant comes back, he's the MVP of that team. Kyrie has been amazing. A fourth-quarter killer once again. But Harden has been the guy. He has been keeping the team afloat. Eight straight wins, like you mentioned, Skeets. And they look incredible offensively, and they look solid enough defensively, I would say. So, yeah, tell him we're getting a table. He can stop by if he wants to. Maybe he'll have a drink. Look, we got a spot right next to JD. It's perfect. We got a slice for you, buddy.
Okay.
One slice left. It's going to take 4.5 hours for that pizza to be done. So show up whenever you want.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to swing by the strip club real quick, James, don't worry. The pizza will not be at the table yet, so you can come a little bit later. What do you think, Tass? Is it a stretch to have him in the MVP conversation? And honestly, should Kyrie be ahead of him, though? I think that is interesting.
Kyrie should not. No.
Really? I'm not sure I agree with that, guys. Yeah. Kyrie, you want to talk about a guy that's not getting any love, the love he deserves. He is ridiculous right now. He's even better than Harden in terms of shooting the ball, efficiency-wise.
Harden's their most important player, though. They're 8-3 when Harden plays without Durant. 5-5 when Durant plays without Harden. Harden has more boards, assists, steals, threes than Kevin Durant, but Kevin Durant beats him in scoring. He is their fulcrum. Ever since Kyrie told James Harden, "Hey man, you're the point guard. Mm-hmm. I'm the shooting guard." Literally, that's what happened. They've bonded. They want to win a ship. I don't think they really care who gets the accolades at this point. You know, at this point of their careers, Harden's 30 plus. He did the MVP thing. And they're all on the same level. It's nuts. It's nuts how quickly they've kind of come together, even with Kevin Durant missing six games. It's like Kevin Durant's not on the team and they still kick ass. And no one's really concerned about when Kevin Durant comes back. Obviously, the hamstring is a huge concern. But, you know, it was supposed to be a couple games, and now he can sit out till the All-Star weekend, and everything's fine because in the Eastern Conference, the Sixers aren't running away with things. The Nets are right there, half game back, and whoever is playing between him and Durant is in the conversation. Like, if Kevin Durant is out for another few weeks, then Harden bumps into to Jokic and Embiid and all the boys at the table, and LeBron, of course. But, it's KD's to lose unless he doesn't come back, I think. I think even though the numbers I just said, Harden kicking ass in every single category but scoring for this team, he's their best defender. Just kidding. KD's the guy. KD's still the guy.
Brooklyn is scoring 118.2 points per 100 possessions. I think they're the number one offense in the league. They're 120.7 since the James Harden trade. That is like the greatest ever. I think they're on pace to beat, the Mavericks of last year. And that's not a real surprise.
I believe it. I believe it with this Nets one? Team. Yeah. I did not believe it with the Mavericks. They shot a lot of threes and made them. It's 2020 when it happened. But this team, I can believe this being the best offensive team of all time.
I want to do a little trivia, though, with you guys, because I fired up the Basketball Reference MVP tracker, right? The award tracker. And this is ranking the candidates based on like a model built using previous voting results. And it's obviously taking into consideration the win percentage of the team, the numbers of the guys, and all that stuff. So just to let you guys know, Kevin Durant not in the top 10 right now. Now, I think a big part of that is, of course, he's missing these games here. Kyrie is eighth on the list, and James Harden is not on it either. Can you name, though, let's go just the top five right now. Can you name the top five guys according to Basketball Reference on the MVP tracker? Lee, have a go at it. Just you go first here.
LeBron.
LeBron is fifth right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's dipped down. He was much higher. Trey, next guy.
Embiid.
Number two right now, according to Basketball Reference. Tass?
The Joker.
He's number one with the Nuggets, only at 17-15. Yeah, a little shocking. Of course, the numbers are just unbelievable. But the record, not amazing. Two more guys. Back to you, Lee.
Luka?
Luka, not in the top 10. Mm. Not even there. Nope. Trey?
Giannis.
Yeah, sneaky Giannis. No good. Three, still pretty good.
Still pretty good.
No chance of winning it, we sort of all agree, going back-to-back-to-back, probably, unless they just don't lose a game from here on out, the Bucks. He's three, and then Tass, can you name number four?
Stefan, don't call me Steph.
No, he's way down there. He's number 10. He's number 10. Kawhi. Yeah, another sneaky guy. Kawhi Leonard, obviously the Clippers have a great record, and his numbers are there. And then it's Lillard 6th, Rudy Gobert 7th, Kyrie, as I said, 8th, Donovan Mitchell 9th, and Steph Curry 10th. So there you go.
That's interesting with the Jazz. I mean, as great as they've played, Mitchell and Gobert are not really in that conversation at all.
They're not at the table. Yeah. Well, that's the crazy part, right? Could they have the best record in the league when it's all said and done, but we could still have three Nets players eating at the same dinner at that MVP table? Wow. That makes you think. Let's hear from you guys, though. True or false? Does Harden deserve a spot? Can any of these Nets guys actually win MVP this year, or do they all sort of cannibalize each other, which I think is the case. I don't see any of the three winning them. Let's hear from you. Okay, we got Worst of the Week still. We got Tweet of the Night. We got some shout-outs. We got rapid-fire fun, but let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
It's time for Worst of the Week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Worst of the Week.
This week's Worst of the Week, we have three nominees. We'll start it off with the Boston Celtics, because they're continuing to lose to bad teams, guys. The last 2 weeks, they've lost to Detroit, Washington, Atlanta twice, the Pelicans, Dallas, who is now sub-500. All in the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
This team that's supposed to be a championship contender. And I personally think they'll get back on track when Marcus Smart comes back. He is their lifeblood. But there's talk about them making a big move on The Athletic. Few of the guys contemplated John Collins from the Atlanta Hawks being moved to the Celtics. So I want to ask you guys, let's not get into the nitty-gritty of the Celtics. It's painful to watch them right now. But quick around the table, do you think the Celtics make a major move the next few weeks to try and revitalize what was supposed to be a championship team? Trey?
Are you considering a John Collins-esque major move?
Yeah, I think so.
To me, yeah, I think that would be a notable player who has at least all-star potential. I can see it happening. The Celtics, their biggest weakness is that they don't have a lot of depth right now, so it might be a problem for them to try and move some of their role players, multiple role players, to try and bring in a star, unless they're able to do it in some sort of three-team trade. But there's got to be some sort of shakeup. There's too much ask for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum right now. They are both very solid players. They're both, you know, all-stars this season. Tatum theoretically could be an MVP candidate someday, but creating for others has been a problem for both of them. It's not their strength, no doubt about it. And they're missing Marcus Smart on the defensive end and just as a connector, swinging the ball from side to side, making decisions, and not being a guy who needs to go out there and score every single time. What can they do? I mean, John Collins, I think, would help. You know, he would certainly help on the glass, give him a little bit of a presence inside. I think he's become a better defender than people realize at this point in his career. He's an average defender, which was maybe not the case when he started. But the Celtics need to do something. There's going to be some sellers, I would imagine, here at the trade deadline. We don't necessarily know who it is because teams are so bunched up right now. But somebody's going to make a move. The Celtics got to hop in.
Who are the sellers? Yeah, Rockets, maybe. Cavaliers. Who am I forgetting, Lee? Other teams selling. That immediately
The Thunder.
In.
You want Al
Thunder.
Horford back?
Thunder, sure.
Oh, man, they could use Al Horford. Well, that's the thing, right? The Celtics have led a lot of these, you know, good, if not star players, leave for really nothing. I mean, in Kyrie and Horford and Gordon Hayward, of course, you know, getting back. They got to do something with that trade exception. Yeah, I think they're going to do something. We'll see how major it is. Task, but they have to do something. You're right. Smart is one of those players that it is like, you know, a Draymond. It's like a Lowry. It's like, man, he's not there. You just miss him. You're just like, your team just is not as good as it is when those type of guys are playing because of their impact on both ends. But I do think Danny Ainge will do something here. I think he has to. Because like they're not, their goal is not to make the playoffs. Their goal is to go very, very far. Their goal is to win a championship. Let's be honest, and at least get there. I think would be their goal. So they'll do something.
What do you think?
Well, history tells us Danny Ainge is going to come close, but not actually do anything. So I'm not sure if that will change or not this season. I think there's two major factors here. You've addressed the Marcus Smart, and also they need to get Kemba Walker playing back to the best level that he can be at, because he makes a huge difference, and he just hasn't been able to sort of stay healthy and get to that level yet. So I think there's a couple of things there. As far as a major move, without obviously giving up any of their significant pieces of their big four, I guess they could potentially, you know, try to use that trade exception to get somebody, but I sort of just feel that it's more like going to be an off-season thing with the Celtics. I think they don't tend to make big moves during the season. I think they'll reevaluate and see how they go once they do get their healthy players back and play at a high level. Because I think they're still a very tough team. I mean, they've got star players. Mm-hmm. They've got their best five is pretty good. But they don't have the depth right now. So I don't think a major move is coming. No, I think maybe they'll move on the fringes a little bit, but not a significant move.
You're not wrong about Kemba, man. The guy plays great early in games, and then as the game goes on, he just gets worse and worse and worse. It's becoming that's a concern. And I don't know, like, would they try and move him? I think they would if they got the right deal back, but good luck with that maybe right now.
Yeah, he's got 2 years left and 70-odd million left on that deal. He's with a player option for that last year. So that's a big contract. It's almost kind of what happened with Hayward. They gave him the big deal, and then, you know, he didn't see it out in the end because they got him to, you know, he went to Charlotte, but Kemba with the injuries is just really slowing him down. But at his best, I think that Celtics team is much better than what they're showing right now.
Yeah, they just need one of those role players to really shine through. They've got so many guys that they've picked in the first round that just haven't been knockout punches. I love me.
But who's going to do it now? Yeah. I mean, you have hope that one of them's going to do it, like in a playoff series?
No, not right now. I mean,
one of them's not turning into Tyler Hero, like in the Heat, like run. You know, I don't see that happening right now.
I know, but if you squint, you can see Peyton Pritchard turning into Tyler Hero. Like, no, totally.
Well, that's the crazy part. Pritchard's been the best of all those guys that they've drafted the last couple of years.
What was his nickname?
Fast Pee Pee.
Fast Pee Pee. Then he could become playoff Pee Pee.
That's good.
Nice.
That's
good. Okay, potential. Now I want him to do good.
You mentioned Draymond Green there, Skeet, somewhere in there. The second nominee is Draymond Green. Last Saturday, less than 10 seconds left, Warriors down 2 to Charlotte. Green was upset with Gordon Hayward being allowed to call a timeout on a scramble play. Green was so upset he got hit with 2 techs. Hornets tied it from the line on those techs. Then they won it while Draymond Green was in the back. Oh, I wanted to get your take on Green copping to it days later, because after the game he didn't address the media, and days later he said, quote, "I was dead ass wrong. I can't get the second tech. It bothered me more than getting suspended in game 5 of the NBA finals."
Wow.
Interesting. This situation in particular I had complete control over. Now he's referring to when he tapped LeBron's undercarriage way back in game 4 of the NBA finals in 2016 that really turned that series around 3-1. And he got suspended for the accumulation of flagrant fouls. This one upset him more.
Because he's saying it was more on me. I was a dummy.
Yeah. Well, right. LeBron was literally like on him too. And then he touched his testicles, and then that's why he got suspended. I mean, it was an accumulation, of course. Yeah. I understand what he's saying, but I don't know. He said it's still with him days later. It's still bothering him. Again, more than the NBA Finals. I think that's a little bonkers to me.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, on that possession that the Hornets got the timeout, he was right that, you know, he could have complained about it. But getting those 2 techs, one I believe was for taunting the opponent, and then the other one was for just basically swearing at the referee. So, yes, he needs to control his emotions a little bit better than that. But he did need that basically 24 hours to cool down, because he didn't want to speak to the media after the game. And Steve Kerr addressed it after the game. He said, no, he was in the wrong, and I'm going to talk to him about it. So, you know, those two have had some tension in the past, but at least they owned up to it in that situation and didn't hide from it. And then Draymond did come out and say, yep, that was on me. So I think in the end, he did the right thing. He didn't try to hide from it or make excuses, and it did cost his team a victory in the end. So he did the right thing. He made up for it in that sense, but they lost the game because he lost his cool.
Right.
All right. Last candidate, friend of the program, basketball podcaster, writer, and personality, Nate Duncan.
Oh, man.
It's unfortunate.
I thought this happened 10 weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Things happen so fast. But when the dunk of the year happened, rookie Anthony Edwards, he dunked on Utah Watanabe. Duncan tweeted, well, Anthony Edwards all over Twitter with the dunk of the year. He also has 7 points on 3 of 14 shooting, 0 of 7 on threes. Let me just point that out. He's having a bad game.
Right.
Nate Duncan, come on. We're just trying to celebrate a moment here. So then when Philip Dean photoshopped Nate Duncan being dunked on by Anthony Edwards, couldn't help but laugh at that. Because everybody angry with Nate Duncan for just not celebrating the moment. So are we in the wrong here? Well, listen, there's a fan out here from No Dunks named Bo, who is in Nate's corner.
Okay.
He tweeted, all the people still today bashing Nate Duncan for his correct Anthony Edwards opinion. Why is this still a thing? And then he goes on to say, I feel like this debate is evolving into current NBA ball movement versus early 2000s boring ISO stars. I guess what Bo is saying is that Nate is describing what's actually happening. Anthony Edwards is not having a good night, while Twitterers are just excited about the dunk and aren't seeing the full Anthony Edwards picture. But right. No one was arguing that Anthony Edwards is an MVP candidate. They were just
saying the dunk was awesome.
Play.
Yeah.
And I've been loving Anthony Edwards recently. He's come back to earth though. Mm-hmm. LaMelo Ball's definitely the rookie of the year. He's kind of fallen back to earth, but he was in the sky for that one, and that's all anyone was talking about. It was just the dunk. So you know, it's unfortunate that Nate got was trending for the wrong reason because his analysis is good, but in this moment, it wasn't about the 0 of 7 threes. No one was saying Anthony Edwards is a good three-point shooter or Anthony Edwards is an efficient player and belongs in the Hall of Fame. They're just saying that was the dunk of the year, and it was.
So far, for sure.
So, you know, I think.
But what happens, though, is that tweet, it gets turned into, like it's like that, was it Bo says, like it's the whole nerds, the analytics versus just loving the game and celebrating the cool moments. It just turns into this stupid, like, oh, you guys talk about his numbers, and then all you guys want to do is just see the highlights and the cool passes and stuff like that. You can enjoy both of them.
That's right.
You don't have to pick one, guys. You can geek out over both the cool plays and the numbers and get into it. And look, I am a fan of, and have listened to the guys for a long time, Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue. And those guys, by the way, they watch the games. They actually do know what they're talking about, which is why this becomes ironic. People are like, nerd, you got your head just buried in the numbers, you know. Nope, he watches more basketball than you. I will guarantee you that. He just does. And this is coming from someone that watches a hell of a lot of basketball. Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue do. And then what's also great is like Nate Duncan actually plays basketball and is pretty decent at basketball and I think can dunk, which is the ironic part, because his name is also Duncan, is the funny part of this whole thing. But I don't know. I just don't care. It's fun. Everybody, like, with the Photoshops and stuff like that, I think Nate Duncan is a good enough sport that he can take that and maybe he's like, oh, yeah, maybe not the greatest timing with my tweet. I don't know. Maybe he still stands by it, whatever. But who cares, man? Like, we don't have to make this so damn serious. It was an awesome dunk, and they're also really great at what they do, I think, in terms of breaking down the game. You're laughing, Lily. What are you laughing at?
Well, two things. I mean, to me, the numbers are irrelevant to that dunk in the moment. It was an incredible moment. That's what we love to see. But Jasmine L. Watkins had the best tweet when she just tweeted a clip from Coach Carter where she said, everyone watching the Anthony Edwards dunk, Nate Duncan, and just went to the clip where he says, those are the numbers. Those are some stats for your ass.
Sure.
But this is why we love it as well. I mean, because we all have our own way of interpreting things and what's important and what we should value. And that's just, you know, Nate, in that moment, and he hasn't deleted the tweet. He hasn't apologized. Nah. He's like, I still believe it. And that's what you own up to it. That's fine. That's great. So I just thought it was a hilarious moment because maybe it is dunk of the year. Who knows? But we'll also have that. We'll also have Nate's tweet. So
yeah, that's true.
You know,
it's true.
Yeah. If Nate had tweeted Utah Watanabe's on off numbers or his, you know, defensive RPM or whatever, that would have been relevant. You know, like, you know, something that makes sense. Of, oh, Watanabe got dunked on, poor guy. But you know, he's a pretty good defender. Like, I don't know. Maybe if he had a dunk rate for Anthony Edwards, like he misses 99% of his dunks. Don't take this one at face value. He's a bad dunker. Like that would have made sense. But it doesn't, you know, Basketball is just like fun sometimes. So.
Well, yeah, but if I'm Nate Duncan, run with this, man. Run with this bit. Anytime there's a great play on Twitter, tweet right away something like about like a bad number or pointing out a limitation to that player. Run with it, man. Lean into it is what I would tell him to do. But we'll see. Nice. Anything to add there, TK, to this?
I just think there's tremendous irony in the host of the Dunked On podcast being dunked on after a guy got dunked on.
Funny.
It's incredible stuff. I would love to see the stats on that for how many dunks you can get into a single sentence. Can you beat three? I don't know.
It's pretty amazing. It is good.
Yeah, it's good. It is great. It's just naturally say the guy got dunked on. Bang. It's publicity for the Dunked On podcast. Yeah. Boom.
Right.
Just like that. So, and we do love Danny, and we love Johnny, who is, you know...
Whoa, why are you loving tangent. Johnny in there?
No, he's a tangent. He hosts a podcast as well with Johnny. Nate Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Dunked On. But, yeah, I mean, you know, people are lumping him in. Why don't we lump in Nerder She Wrote here? Everybody's lumping in the guys who watch basketball. You know, he just got a little too deep, in the numbers. Just step back, Nate.
Step back, Lee Ellis from the corner in the Metro Media Jam to win the championship. I remember that.
Stole it from Nate Duncan, didn't you? I think.
Won the jump ball.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. Wow. I forgot about that part.
Clutch play. What were your stats, though, on the night, Lee? What were
you
shooting?
Yeah. No, you were garbage.
JK.
Nate Duncan tweeted after the game, only shot he hit all night. No, Danny LaRue gave you MVP. I think he's the one that bestowed that upon you.
That's right.
I was going to say, yeah, this whole thing is like, would this be like Dave DeFore hating cool 4-point plays? Like, if there's a big 4-point play, Dave DeFore's got to jump on Twitter and be like, that was 1 of 12. Barely hits them. Right? I think that would be the equivalent.
That's good.
Here.
That's good.
All right. So, yeah, those are the Worst of the Week nominees. Are you giving it to anyone in particular? Is it going to...
No, it's not going to Nate Duncan. Okay. I mean, we're already losing people in the stream team. They're saying, come on, stop talking about this. Start talking about basketball.
Yes.
So I'm not going to mention that again. Draymond, I mean, I guess it's the Celtics just overall.
Yeah, that's fine.
Or maybe it's a three-way tie. I don't know.
Okay. Okay, well, let's before we get to definitely not talking about more basketball because there's not a whole lot left of this show, we do have some more ad reads.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Whoa! Mac is back! You ever wish you could have it both ways? I do. Like a zero-calorie cheeseburger or staying up late but not feeling exhausted in the morning? Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort. But you can have it both ways with Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees and versatile yet comfortable pants, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I've got some polos, some tees, some undies, and I love them. Simple, soft, stylish. In fact, I'm wearing Mack Weldon right now. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. If you told me my silver PK polo was made from 100% cotton, I would 100% believe you. But those antimicrobial silver threads keep me feeling fresher longer. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code NODUNKS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NODUNKS.
Sticking sort of in the ad read world here, this next segment, it was such a hit last week that we decided we got to run it back. It's once again time for Masterclass, What I Learned This Week.
I can't believe that I have Masterclass What I Learned This Week because I barely had a chance to glance at the thing. I've been so damn busy, but good news. Lincoln, my son, 14 years old, has been glued to MasterClass. He's literally been watching it all of his spare time. Here's a picture of him taking in a Gordon Ramsay MasterClass home cooking. And I would like to draw your attention to the bowl next to the computer. That is a bowl of Yorkshire pudding that he made from scratch for his lunch that day.
Wow.
Not the healthiest lunch, but you know what? He's learning.
Okay.
So I happened to pass by while he was watching this class, and I learned a new way to chop vegetables, guys. It's real simple. I was always the knife away from me, you know, like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Gordon suggests, like, here, I got a picture.
Towards
like,
you?
Perpendicular to you,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, as soon as I saw it, I've been chopping my strawberries in the morning like this, and it's actually easier.
Hmm.
So.
Oh, close up.
Nice.
Yeah, I learned something. And then later on in the chapter, they have awkward shaped vegetables, I enjoyed. And you know, it sounds so stupid, but it's actually so helpful, all of his little tips. So, Lincoln, it's like we were talking last week about when your kid sort of decides that they're interested in something and you just sort of run with it, you know, like try to make it available. Well, he's all about cooking right now. So he's been making dinner for the entire family the last 4 nights.
That's awesome.
And he actually made patty melts last night from this little
gem. Oh, that little cookbook, eh?
Yeah.
Mm. Shout out to Danielle Aran.
Danielle Aran.
Yeah.
Patty melts, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's their cheeseburger, I guess, with the cumin in it. But delicious.
Nice.
Has his swearing uptake increased at all there, JD?
100%.
Yeah.
Now, Gordon Ramsay doesn't swear at all, I think, on the on MasterClass, but Lincoln is a huge fan, so he watches Hell's Kitchen and all that. So he's he's like,
get out of the kitchen, you idiot!
Oh, totally. Like he said that exact quote to his brother the other day.
Has he taken two pieces of bread and stuck them on Jackson's ears? You're an idiot sandwich.
Not yet. But Lincoln says that Gordon Ramsay does that when he's out of lines. When he's out of like one-liners, you know, then he'll just take it's his go-to, grab the bread. What are you?
Bread. Wow. All right. So there you go. Good stuff. So you're learning through osmosis through your son watching.
Vicariously, And it's, you know, it's now he's cooking dinner, which is awesome. Like finally earning his keep, 14 years old.
Nice. All right, great stuff.
I'm waiting. I'm looking forward to the dishes doing chapter, like, because
he doesn't clean up.
It's a goddamn disaster in there. So, but that's fine.
He's not gonna cook and clean.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. That's the thing. That's the deal. I think that's why he's been doing it.
That's
I'm gonna
smart.
Cook every night so I don't have to do any chores. Like, okay.
Nice.
Smart. Okay, great. I love it. Masterclass. What I learned this week. Trey, you're up next week. Okay.
Sounds good. Watch that Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you all about the chopping as well. That's interesting to me. I don't know. I've always been a slight angle sort of fella, but.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay. Wow. We're learning here. Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
What do you got, Tassie?
Also food related. It's a classic. Which one of these? It's from our friends at Homage. Who wrote, 4 McDonald's products here that have been discontinued. You can only bring one back. The old personal pizza that they used to have at McDonald's.
No.
Mm. I don't remember. I think that's the only one I've had of these four, but I can't really remember. Anyways, McSalad Shakers, probably Matt Austin's favorite.
Yeah.
The insufferable salad shaker, Matt Austin. And the old McJordan burger, the Michael Jordan burger. That was in Chicago. I'm sure Trey's had that. And the onion nuggets. Now, those look interesting.
Yeah. I like how they put the full-size onion right there. Just so you know that's what they
we
are.
Fried a whole onion.
Come cut these. All right. So, for me, I mean, I've only had one. I think it's the pizza.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, whatever. It was something. It was something.
Good. Yeah.
Anybody else? Did you have the McJordan, Trey?
Probably. I would imagine I did back in the day because, you know, we were a McDonald's frequenting household, just like Jay Skeets once used to frequent the microwave. The Kirby household would frequent McDonald's. I remember distinctly having the beef Wennington back in the day, Bill Wennington's signature sandwich. I'm sure I tried the McJordan. It looked like it was just a cheeseburger with bacon and barbecue sauce on it. Maybe is what that little backboard was saying. But
no, they put a cigar on it as well.
That little cigar, delicious. A little ash. Mm, yeah. Love it. That'd be all right. I didn't mind the pizzas, though. I remember being very excited when McDonald's came out with pizza. I'm like, these guys can do everything. Yep. Breakfast burritos already on deck? Jeez, they've covered every cuisine out there. But for jokes, they got to bring back the McSalad Shaker. And they got to hire Matt Austin as the spokesman. I've been shaking salads for a decade waiting for this thing to come back.
Yeah, that container that looks like the McSalad Shakers comes in looks very noisy. Yeah, looks like it'd be right up Matt Austin's alley. Yeah. You worked at McDonald's, Lee. Are any of these ringing a bell with you?
No, I don't think any of those made it to Australia, including the McSalad Shakers. I don't think so. I mean, obviously the Jordan didn't. The pizza, I don't remember if the pizza made it or not. But certainly not the onion nuggets there. That just sounds gross, actually, onion nuggets.
Yeah, it's weird.
So I guess I'd just like to try the Jordan special. I mean, let's just throw some bacon and barbecue sauce and put Michael Jordan's name on a cheeseburger. That should sell a few more. Sure, why not?
Yeah, it's bacon, barbecue sauce, and then standard stuff. It's just a standard burger with bacon.
Yeah.
But barbecue sauce, you're a barbecue sauce
I am,
man.
Yeah, I'm actually intrigued by that, but I've never had a burger from McDonald's, and I'm not going to start now. So the streak's going to continue. I'm interested in... Not the pizza. I do remember when the pizza came to McDonald's, though, and that was a big, big deal. And I probably did like it at the time, but it was not that great a pizza.
Yes,
there's a reason they got rid of it. I'm going to go with those onion nuggets because that's my go-to at McDonald's. Nuggets, like chicken McNuggets. But I'm intrigued. I would try those. I like onion rings. I assume that's what they're sort of like. Yeah, sure. Give me those. I've never seen those. I didn't know those were an item, for sure.
Yeah,
so.
I saw some tweets. People very excited that they had tried them, and they're very pumped once upon a time.
Nuggets.
Yeah, the pizza thing, I remember, didn't it come in a box? Like a
100%.
Every pizza comes in a box.
Yeah,
but
it was like
those,
a little cute little box.
Like a little pizza box, yeah, like that big.
That was a personal size pizza. If Matt Austin was here, we'd be having a super long argument about what size a personal size pizza is, because...
Right.
I don't even know what Matt's argument is, but he argues a lot about it. And I just like that it came in that box. Yeah, it's like, okay, this is exactly the amount of pizza I want to eat. It's not, I don't have to take an 8-slicer with me. It's just like a perfect container.
Well, that's what, wasn't Matt saying like an 8-slice pizza is a personal pizza? And we were like, no, it's not. It's just a smaller pizza. But I'm with you. That's a personal size pizza, what McDonald's was doing. 4 slices.
That's exactly what he was arguing.
Yeah.
It's actually one of Lee's favorites. Varisano's has an 8-slicer, and Matt was calling it a personal-sized pizza. No regular person is eating an 8-slicer for fun. Like, you just can't.
I mean,
you can.
We said you can eat it all.
Of course.
But it doesn't make it a personal pizza.
Yeah,
but he argues it does. Not you.
No,
let's get him on here. Call him up.
I can't wait till we get the WhatsApp chat later on when he hears this.
Oh, for sure. He might be watching live. Who knows? Who knows? I guess it's early out there.
You've never eaten a whole pizza, have you, Lee, from Varisano's?
I have, because they're thin.
Maybe
so
they are personal
pizzas. Yeah, you can get through them, but I would argue, though, that they are... You know, not designed for the one person. It's like,
that's what we're saying. Again, you can eat them.
When John Varisano first made them, he thought they were going to be for two or more people.
Yeah.
Where JD and I had, I think we had 2 pizzas in the airport at Varisano's, JD, didn't we? But, you know, I don't know if we ate all of them ourselves. It was more just like, one pizza's not enough for JD and I. Get 2 pieces. Maybe we traded a piece or two here as well.
Yeah,
so.
Give a slice to the guy playing the piano over in the food court. Yeah.
Nice bottle of red.
This one's on me.
We definitely finished the wine. I remember that.
Yeah. I think we also had pizza in Phoenix too, JD, you and I.
We
had a nice
did.
Yeah.
Hey, do you remember when we went to that pizza place in Houston for All-Star Weekend?
Oh, we ate pizza in Chicago last year as well.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, put the photo back up. Took 4 hours for
love eating pizza. Which NBA player would wear a cream turtleneck to the MVP table?
Wow. What a photo. Oh,
James Harden. I could see James Harden in a cream turtleneck.
Yeah, for sure. We actually sat like that for the whole meal too. As close as we could.
Yeah. Okay, someone take that photo and then Photoshop in the five MVP candidates onto our heads there. And that's what we'll run with for the MVP conversation. Oh man. Okay, great stuff. Now, this week we asked all of you out there to share your favorite No Dunks moments on the Shuffle app, and as a small thank you, we promise to shout you out on today's drop. So we're a pot of our words here. Without further ado, take it away, Lili. Shuffle shoutouts.
Oh, they're back finally, eh? Okay. Be Wise, Shuffler 7020, Dick Barron, JJ Mpaza, Landon Nam, Maher El Haraki, Barnum 3132, Fuchsik, something. Shuffler 552, Creamy D, Drew 4636, Skip to My Lee, Sam Unono, Mason. Straight up Mason.
Wow. P. Brog, early adopter to the Shuffle app.
P. Brog Hammer, Ludasan, Barnan. Barnan's back in there. Gets two shout outs. Mr. T. Mr. C3. That's it. Okay. Unfortunately, I was hoping for a Big Grog Dog.
No. Nope, didn't share anything on the Shuffle app, I guess.
Nah, come on, Big Grog.
Come on, Kroger. All right, great. Did you miss that, Trey? Did you miss the mini show?
I did. Sure. I did not know that I missed it, but hearing Lee get to fuke stick, I was like, what a great throwback. I'm glad the shout-outs are back, and I can't wait till they're gone again.
Yeah, me too. And then once a month, maybe, we can do something with the shout-outs. All right, well, thanks to everybody that did do that, because we asked you to do that this week to share the No Dunks moments on the Shuffle app, and some of you did, so thanks. There's your shout-outs. Pick'em results last night. Wizards, Nuggets. Nuggets were favored by 7.5. They obviously blew it because they can't run a fast break and get us into overtime and maybe give us a chance to win that. We all had Denver. It's an L for everyone, and things are very interesting here for our final night in February, because we're hitting the weekend. Come Monday, it's March, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
It's the perfect square.
It's the perfect square. That's what my wife told me at the start. It still is. So, again, we all lost. I'm 12-7. I'm in the clear. Lee, you're 10-9. You're in the clear, because we got two guys here at the bottom of your screen if you're joining us on the stream team. It's Tass and Trey, both 8-11. Final game for February. What is the game there? I'll tell you. It's Blazers-Lakers. Okay? Blazers-Lakers. Now, I would prefer you guys to go, with opposite teams here or different teams. Lakers are favored by 5.5 at home versus the Blazers. Who wants to go first? I mean, how you guys want to decide this? I don't know. The oldest guy, the youngest? I don't care how you guys decide this.
The oldest guy or the youngest
guy? Hey, wait.
Guy?
Hold on. When was the last time you had McDonald's?
Oh.
Not long ago. A few days ago.
Trey?
Longer than a few days ago.
Okay, Tass.
Sure.
Tass wins. Tass wins the McDonald's tile.
What does it mean, though?
Well, you guys can pick first, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. I think I'm going to take the team Trey's not going to take, so I think it might work out.
Okay.
Because the Lakers stink. They're 0-8-1 against the spread in their last nine without Anthony Davis. They've lost four in a row. They're 5.5-point favorites against the Blazers, but I'll take them. Were you going to take the Blazers, you think, Trey? I'll flip. If you want to take the Lakers, I don't care.
I'm happy with either, man. I'm happy to just let the basketball gods decide. So if you want the Blazers, you can have the Blazers. If you want the Lakers, you can have the Lakers.
I'm taking the Lakers.
I'll go
Blazers.
There we go. Tass has the Lakers to win by six or more. That's important. Trey has the Blazers to keep it close enough and hopefully get the victory. Lee, who are you taking just for fun? Where are you going?
I think that's just a bit of a big line there for the way that the Lakers are playing. So I would pick the Blazers to cover.
That's interesting. I would have gone with the Lakers here.
There you go.
Torn. All right. Good luck to Tass and Lee. Tass and Trey, because one of them will be paying it off eventually in early March, because one of them will be losing. That is guaranteed. We'll find out tonight. Got to watch that Blazers-Lakers game. All right. Let's wrap this up with some rapid fire fun. Trey.
The Knicks' Emmanuel Quickley told the Big Apple Buckets podcast that he keeps a folder full of screenshots from haters on his phone for whenever he needs a little extra motivation. As we all know, your screenshot folder is a screenshot of your life. So guys, what's something surprising in your screenshot folder? Skeets.
Yeah, this was a great question, TK. I was looking at all my photos in my screenshot folder. That's the important part. And I couldn't pick just one. So here are three. First one, Yao Ming with a Playboy bunny. I got that in my screenshot folder. And that's not going anywhere, because what good a photo. Second one, our friend Trang, dressed as a bottle of Crest toothpaste.
Wow. That's great.
Also good. And my brush favorite up, this random woodworker who looks like Lee Ellis.
I remember seeing that. Someone tweeted, and I was like, holy shit, that is me.
Got a wall full of tools.
So those are my three favorites right now. That's so I got good some bangers in my screenshot. That's my favorite.
That was awesome. JD, what you got?
Yeah, I'm same thing. I came up with three as well because I just couldn't narrow it down. The first one is shout out to Survivor. I don't know why I have this. It's Aubrey from Survivor with the subtitle "egg" with two exclamation points. She was excited. I think the chicken may have laid an egg.
I think
who knows?
So.
Who
eggs?
The next one is just a couple of billionaires that I screen grabbed to send to my friend Lee Ellis.
Yes.
That's Richard Branson wearing only tidy whiteys for some reason, and Sarah Blakely wearing a it's like a rainbow sort of track suit, a very fetching number. And speaking of fetching numbers, we couldn't have this segment without a picture of Mo Vernon in his Big Mac onesie. His beloved Big Mac onesie.
Holy crap, his fingers look crazy in that glove.
Yeah. Totally weird.
They look wild.
It's just, there's a lot going on here.
Oh,
good.
My goodness. I think, JD, that Richard Branson one, I think he's wearing men's Spanx, which is, of course, that's Sarah Blakely's company.
Yes.
Sarah Blakely's company. I think they're men's Spanx. That's what I believe
it is. What is it holding in? It's literally a thong, practically.
Yeah, but I think that's it. They branched out and made some menswear, and Richard was more than happy to wear them, as you can see there. He's in great nick, too. He must be 65 or so.
He does look good shape.
70 years old?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It looks like he could.
Like Diamond Dallas Page.
Looks great. Looks like he could be friends with your friend Eight Toes. He looks like he's missing some digits on that.
Oh, boy.
That right.
Well, he's got the one right digit there.
Oh, boy.
Easy. All right, Lee, what's in your
what's in your thing, man?
Well, it's ironic that we brought back shout outs today because obviously we used to do Tweet of the Week back in the day, and I must have screenshotted this one for Tweet of the Week one day here from our former colleague, Rick Fox. Anyone else notice how tan I was in the NBA Finals NBA TV promo? That was last year in Miami. Got some sun in South Beach.
Still holds up, that tweet. Still holds
up.
You've had that on your phone for more than 6 years at
apparently
this point.
Apparently so. Apparently so, yeah. I mean, and I've had a new phone since then, so it must have, saved over, I guess.
I got to make sure to save this one.
That tweet pairs nicely, though, with JD's eggs. Or egg. Fox loves his eggs. Okay. All right, next one.
Oh, great stuff. All-Star reserves were announced this Tuesday. Amongst the selections were first-timers Zach LaVine, Jaylen Brown, Zion Williamson, and Julius Randle. Fellas, what's something that is always best the first time around? Skeets.
Fastest I've ever come up with a rapid-fire answer. Socks.
Oh!
Without a doubt, that first time you wear a pair of good socks, it'll never be better than that. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. As soon as, of course, they're washed, they're never the same. But that first time, a good pair of socks.
Love it.
Yeah.
God, that's good. That's good. I mean, like, you're leaving us speechless, man. We're like, dude, that's cool. Damn. The only thing I don't like about a first sock wear, you might get some fuzzies in your toes.
Sure.
You know, if it's too soft of a sock.
It's the payoff's worth it, though, because they're so soft. Yeah.
All right, JD.
Nice. Anytime you have a new dish at a nice restaurant, you know what I mean? Like that first time you're like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever had. And then you go back to that restaurant. I'm thinking specifically of the Farm Egg at Empire State South down here in Atlanta. Such an amazing dish. A very simple dish. It's literally just an egg on South Carolina rice, I believe. It's crunchy. It's tasty. The first time you have it, it's just like, this is the greatest thing I've ever had. And then you go back, and it's still awesome, but it's just not quite the same, you know? Yep. It's just not, you're still chasing that dragon. So anytime you have a new dish, there's a chicken place, a souvlaki stand in Corfu, Greece that I went to one time. I was like, I'm going to bring my grandchildren here. But then I went back like the next week, and it was just like, okay, this is pretty good. This chicken is really good, but it's, I don't know, why was it? It was like cracked last time I was here. So, you know.
It's a good answer, too.
Really good. Lee.
We talked about this last night on the Happy Hour with our buddy Grish. Forrest Gump. I think the consensus was Forrest Gump the first time. Pretty good movie.
Pretty good. Not bad.
Pretty enjoyable. The more you watch it, you're like, gets worse and worse each time.
The soundtrack is one.
The soundtrack is still a banger, but yeah, the more you watch it, the more you just pick it apart and you just go, hey, how did I even like this at the start? But you do.
You do.
You're not wrong. You're
final not wrong. Question. We heard Post Malone covering Hootie and the Blowfishes Only Want to Be With You on yesterday's show. Nobody does it like Darius, but chill vibes. Nonetheless, what's another 90s song that needs a Post Malone chillaxing remake? Skeets.
Well, the answer is all of them, right? But I specifically went with a song that was released in Canada in 1999, came out in 2000 in the States for sure. Soul Decisions, Faded.
Oh, yeah.
Can't you? I mean, this was, it's already.
Yeah,
you know,
it's already there, isn't it?
It's, but, you know, Post Malone's just going to do his version of it. And it's going to be even more chill.
I'm alone.
Remember this song?
Yeah, this song is good.
Barely. This song, like, you don't remember this, JD? It was popular.
I mean,
it was huge.
I don't think I've heard this since the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nora actually helped me with this answer. I was like, I don't know what to say. And she's like, remember Soul Decisions, Faded? And I was like, no, and then she played it. I was like, oh, this song.
Yeah, that's
like, I had
good.
No idea that's what they looked like. I had no clue. But they're Canadian.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, didn't know that part either. But
I'm friend of the program, the Settons.
Yeah.
Mama Settons, Mama Diane Setton, met Soul Decision, has got a photo of it in their living room. Soul Decision with Mama Settin.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's really strange.
I'm
awesome.
Into that. Yeah. I got Choclair's autograph. I thought that was cool.
That's
even
cool.
Better what she's got. Yeah, this is a good song, man. Yeah. I don't think it's on Spotify, someone said, though.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Deep cut.
Yeah. Anyway.
Man, nice. I can actually see a Post Malone version of this, too.
Right?
Very atmospheric.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Nice.
Because I think they did a remix. Tass, you might remember. Remember Thrust?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think he ultimately did like a remix with this, like he did like a verse or something. Anyway, Soul Decisions, Faded. That's my answer.
Nice,
incredible, JD.
So yeah, when I heard Post Malone his cover of Hold My Hand, I'm like, why would you bother with this song? Like, I can't think of a more boring song, right? Like, it's not like Hootie and the Blowfish are like the most meh band. They're not interesting enough to even be bad. You know what I mean? Like, they're just the most mediocre band in history. So I just wanted, I want to hear Post Malone do a banger. So this is not really a deep cut, but you don't hear it very often. It's Criminal by Fiona Apple.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I remember this video.
This song bangs. It's like, I love everything about this song. So, I think he would do a great job with it, and it's awesome. And also, you know, she's still making music, but I don't think she's ever had a hit as big as this. So if he releases a single, then she's going to get some royalties. So, you know, throw some money her way.
Well, I was going to say, was this her biggest song? Probably was, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
She came out with an album last year, which was, it's actually very good, but it's nothing like this. Like, there's no hits on it. You know what I mean?
All right.
When did you say this was, JD? Late 90s? Is that right?
I I mean, it makes sense to me.
I think I just saw some McDonald's pizza. They showed that. Oh, good song.
Yeah,
great song.
Video. Good one. Great video.
All right.
Post Malone version of this video would be very funny as well if you decided to throw that in. Yeah, 1997. Yeah. Wow. Man, I can't believe that song's that old. Wow. Great choice. Lee.
Yeah, mine's coming from the 1991 banger from British pop band London Beat.
That's a good jam.
Oh, this is a great song.
Look at this cover.
Gravity.
Now, I've got two stories with this song. One, I was in this place halfway between Moscow and St. Petersburg called Pskov. And we were out drinking all day. We went into a nightclub, and it was honestly like going into a club like from the 80s or 90s. And this was the first song that came on when I was in there. I just made a beeline straight for the dance floor, dancing all these Russian guys. I was just having a ball because I was just hammered on vodka from drinking that all day. And then I was telling this story to a friend of mine who's a big dancer. As I was telling him the story, he just started like grooving out.
He's such a big dancer that you told him a story about a song. He had to start dancing.
And he just started grooving. Oh yeah, it's great. This reached number one in Australia, so I don't know where it did for if it did for the US or anywhere else, but
I definitely remember this song.
Oh yeah, totally. Sure.
Oh yeah.
It was a big hit.
I've been peeking about you.
Yeah, it's catchy. All right. I've never seen them, though. I didn't know that's what they looked like.
I would have thought it was just a guy.
No clue.
One person.
I mean, classic one-hit wonder. Like, never heard a single other song of theirs, but you hit it out of the park with this one.
Sure did. All right. Wow. All great answers there. I think Post Malone can do some work with all three of those songs. I look forward to that.
Totally.
Those three guys look like the three guys at the beginning of White Man Can't Jump. Hanging out,
the what were they called?
Venice Beach Boys, something like that.
Nice.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good
no
pull.
Instruments.
Good pull. Okay, that's rapid fire. That's another crazy edition of the Drop Podcast. Let us know your answers for the true and false questions early on, and of course, go get your No Dunks merch. Just to remind you again, hoodies and T-shirts and shorts and mugs and all that. Go to nodunks.com. Got to get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. You can sign up for $3.99 a month for the best damn sports writing in the world. So go to theathletic.com/nodunks. They know that we sent you. Helps us out and helps you out because you're going to have unbelievable content to read. And you get all the podcasts ad-free too. So that's just an extra little bonus there. Guys, fun week. We got very solid plays coming later today. We'll have to figure out a time to record that, Lily, but we'll make that work. And yeah, that's about it. JD, another great work for you, week for you at the Classic Factory, my man.
Yeah, killing it over here, I guess.
killing
me, anyway.
Yeah. We're killing you. Yeah, so, like, help us out, guys, with the No Dunks YouTube channel. We are literally killing JD, so at the very least, you could leave us a like, a comment, subscribe, please subscribe, and share the No Dunks YouTube channel with your friends. That would help as well.
Totally.
Awesome stuff, guys. Look forward to talking to you boys on Monday. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. All I gotta say is have a great weekend, everybody.
Brace the weekend, people.
You could stay
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.